Exodus chapter 10, verses 1 through 20, these are God's words. Now Yahweh said to Moses, "Go in to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's son the mighty things I have done in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am Yahweh." So Moses and Aaron came in to Pharaoh and said to him, "Thus says Yahweh, God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory, and they shall cover the face of the earth, so that no one will be able to see the earth. And they shall eat the residue of what is left, which remains to you from the hail. And they shall eat every tree which grows up for you out of the field. They shall fill your houses, the houses of all your servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were on the earth to this day." And he turned and went out from Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh's servants said to him, "How long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go that they may serve Yahweh their God. Do you not yet know that Egypt is destroyed?" So Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh. And he said to them, "Go, serve Yahweh your God." "Who are the ones that are going?" And Moses said, "We will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and herds we will go, for we must hold a feast to Yahweh." Then he said to them, "Yahweh had better be with you when I let you and your little ones go. Beware, for evil is ahead of you. Not so. Go now, you who are men, and serve Yahweh, for that is what you desired." And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Then Yahweh said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, all that the hail has left." So Moses stretched out his rod over the land of Egypt, and Yahweh brought an east wind on the land all that day and all that night. When it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts, and the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested on all the territory of Egypt. They were very severe. Previously there had been no such locusts as they, nor shall there be such after them. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened. And they ate every herb of the land, and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. So there remained nothing green on the trees or on the plants of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste and said, "I have sinned against Yahweh your God and against you. Now therefore, please forgive my sin only this once, and entreat Yahweh your God that he may take away from me this death only." So he went out from Pharaoh and entreated Yahweh. And Yahweh turned a very strong west wind, which took the locusts away and blew them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the territory of Egypt. But Yahweh hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. One of the things that God's people in this passage and throughout history have experienced is times of persecution and trouble that keep going on, and they hope in the Lord, and the Lord has given us psalms with which to cry out how long before him, and he tells us to do things, and we do, in dependence upon His grace, what He says, and there does not seem to be relief. Well, one of the mercies of this passage is He continues to tell, He's been telling Moses and the children of Israel that that's how it would be, but He continues to tell them up front. Did you catch the kind of strange reasoning behind why Moses should go into Pharaoh in verse 1, kids? Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart. He says, okay, Moses, go talk to Pharaoh, because I've made certain that he's not going to listen to you. The reason, however, is so that the Lord may display himself against Pharaoh. I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's son the mighty things I have done in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am Yahweh. So the timing of when the Lord brings about the deliverance of his people is up to him. But it's helpful for us to know in the midst of it that he is revealing himself to us. The Pharaoh's heart hardening ministry was a Lord making himself known to the Israelites ministry. So that when the Lord had brought them through it, they could tell their children and their children's children about how there was no other reason to think that this would come out okay, except that God is our God and He is the Savior, and He said He would, and He did it that way so that I could tell you about Him. And so that whatever He brings you through, you will know that He is the same God to you now. Obviously, you're not, you know, the grandchildren wouldn't be in Egypt, but they would have, you know, Anakim and Canaan, you know, Canaanites to dispel, and, you know, their own problems, and you have that which the Lord has called you through. But it's helpful to remember that God's purposes in the protracted, extended suffering and persecution of his people include among them that he would display himself and make us to know him more. And the more you know this God as your God, the more you know yourself as belonging to him, the more you know what it is to enjoy him, to be able to say, like we sang in Psalm 73, whom have I in heaven but you, and there's nothing on earth I could desire besides you. You totally come to the conclusion that it's worth it. So we have, first of all, an intentionally protracted persecution, which God's people go through, and you may be called to go through in your life. We prayed together before him in the worship service about how things are going in the culture and how they may yet go. And you may walk with him for generations. That means, children, that those of us who are older see the possibility of a very different circumstance in which you would walk with the Lord in the decades that are coming in your life. But he is the Lord, and knowing him and belonging to him is worth whatever he does in order to give you that knowledge of himself. Probably every one of your parents, maybe not to equally dramatic extent, but probably every one of your parents can sit down with you and tell you of a time where things were hard, and they were hard for a long time, but the way the Lord carried them through and out was worth it because of how they grew in knowing him. And part of his reason for doing that is same as here, so that they could tell you and that you could know that he is the Lord. Just a couple other things here about the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. It's important for us when we see what heart hardening looks like to identify that so that we can identify in our own hearts when we are being stubborn and resistant, so we can seek from the Lord softness of heart. He's the one who gives softness. And a couple of them A hard heart is insane. It keeps doing according to its own wisdom, even though it keeps getting burned and hurt and destroyed for it. Pharaoh was to them a god in the flesh. In fact, when he says in verse 10, "Beware, for evil is ahead of you," they've translated something that I don't think they should have translated there. The word for evil in the Hebrew is ra. And he is saying, watch out, for Ra is in front of you. He is very angry that they aren't recognizing his deity. And part of the reason for that, I think, is his advisors have just spoken to him in a way that the Egyptian advisors don't ordinarily speak to Pharaoh. Have you lost your mind, Pharaoh? Can't you see that Egypt is already destroyed? Pre-locust plague? Sin is insane. And it's something that the insanity of is easier to see in other people's lives. Can't they see that disobeying God is what led to this for them? But then what do we do? What do we do with ourselves? We have all of these excuses and careful ways that we couch to ourselves why, you know, thinking this way is okay, or talking about that person that way is okay, or living life of self-indulgence instead of service unto Christ is okay. Whereas if we could have a mirror to see what that is, we're just harming ourselves. We're keeping ourselves from having Christ as our life and the knowledge of Him as our joy. And we would tell that person in the mirror, you're insane. Well, God makes Pharaoh insane in Exodus chapter 10 in part so that it can be a mirror for you. Just don't be the James chapter 1 guy who looks in the mirror, says, yep, I'm insane, and then he turns around, walks away, and just keeps on being insane. You know, God grant that we would look into the mirror of His Word, and that when He shows us the insanity of our sin, we say, thank you, Lord, that is completely and utterly irrational, and if you had not confronted me with it, I would just be hurtling on forward in it. Grant that your Spirit would keep me mindful of what you've shown me in your Word, because you know how in one ear and out the other I have been all my life with you. Sin is insane. And one of the things that is insane is incomplete repentance. Now, this whole Pharaoh's whole, just forgive this one. That, you know, I'm not going to give up everything. I'm definitely not going to let all of you go. But just this one time, forgive this one sin, as if we can kind of haggle with God. He wants complete submission. He commands complete submission. And what He commands is actually good and delightful. And yet we have this Pharaoh insane tendency in our remaining flesh, which is like, I don't want to get too fanatical about my Christianity. I mean, yeah, can't grow all at once. Well, you can't grow all at once, that's true, but God calls you to repent all at once. And growing in that repentance by His grace is a lifelong process. But you don't come and say, well, I'll repent of this one thing this one time, and will give me a spiritual gold star for that. And you know, then if we get in more trouble, we'll find something else. That's insane. That's Pharaoh. That's not Christianity. But praise God, who has given us to know Him. When He says that you may know that I am Yahweh, He's not talking about a theology lesson, although there is theology. He's talking about personal knowledge of the living God as your very own. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit having in Himself from all eternity, that knowledge of Himself that is infinite joy. And that's what He has designed to give you. So if things get bad and worse in America for a long time, know that that is, for those who are His in Christ, at least one of His purposes in it. And it is worth it to know Him. And tell your children. And if your parents aren't telling you, ask them. Ask them, what was one of those hard times, Mom and Dad, that God brought you through that Pastor was talking about? He said you'd have one. Parents have been warned now. You hurry up and think of one. Let's pray. O Lord, when we live for the flesh or when we feel like walking with you hasn't produced the results we'd expected and are jealous of the life that we think would have been better, truly with Asaph, we are like beasts towards you. We thank you that as with Pharaoh and with the wicked in the day of Asaph, we know about the wicked in our own day and all who raise themselves up against you. You have set them in a slippery place. All at once they shall be destroyed whenever it is your wisdom to do so. Nevertheless, O God, make us to feel the glory and generosity of your doing things in order that we might know you and in order that we might tell our children and our children's children and to see them to know you, that we would be continually with you, that you would take us by the hand, that you would guide us by your counsel, and afterward you would receive us into glory. For you yourself who receive us are the glory of glory. We thank you for the extent to which you have made us to enjoy this now, so that we come on your day and gather with your people and just are satisfied and fill up on the fact that we don't have anything in heaven but you or need anything on earth besides you, that even though you've given us everything else together with you, you are greater than all else that you have given us. And so we pray that you would make us to say, for me, good is to be near you, that I may tell your praises all the days of my life. As we go this week, Father, make us to know you and delight in you and be eager to tell your praises all the days of this week. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.